Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Theo, say Rob Beckett.
Rob Beckett.
And Josh Widdicombe.
Widdicombe.
Yeah, that will do.
That will do.
That will do. The recording quality, it felt a bit like the Blair Witch Project to me.
Well, Lou does this to me all the time. She's on a dog walk on a windy day, leaves me a 3-minute voice note, and I'm like, all I can hear is wind. Who was that, Josh, saying that's what
when
do?
When someone leaves a voice note that's over a minute, I just say, are you fucking kidding me? You just see it and you're
that's
like...
That's content. I'd package that up.
Yeah, how the fuck... Can we get Michael in to edit this down, please? 40% of this can come out, can't it, Michael?
If I was a billionaire, I'd forward all my WhatsApps onto someone and they just give me like a briefing, like a prime minister.
There's a really funny meme going round. This comedian sent an embarrassing tweet.
Yeah,
hi,
it's
lads.
All kicking off there.
Yeah. This is 2.5-year-old Leo attempting your names. He's probs 6, sick of hearing them. As I was late to the party, so Parenting Hell is playing every car journey. God, they win. I'll tell you about my car journey playing list in a second, Rob. Thanks for all the lols. Love you both. From Lauren and Leo, Manchester.
That'll do. I'd say a little bit of feedback. Try and be a bit more positive to your child, I'd say, wouldn't you?
That'll do, Leo. You know.
That'll
but
do.
But that's the thing. Leo's going to be a young achiever because he's trying to please Lauren at all points, Rob.
Yes, true.
Whereas my daughter... Who I would say that's the best thing you've ever done. And she's a spoiled brat, Rob.
No, well, yeah, there is a middle ground, isn't it? But, you know, we'll find out. Proof's in the pudding. Maybe I'm wrong.
Tell you what,
can
though.
I say something about podcasts, though, Josh? Whether it's this one or another one, but I quite like... Do you know what? There's something I'm proud for us, me, you and Michael. We always deliver. Tuesday and a Friday, you're getting it. You know what's going on. It very much frustrates me when there's certain shows where, like, it's just not on for a bit or they just come out at a random point. I like the fact that we are...
We're EastEnders.
We've had a couple of moments in the early form when it was lockdown and all that where we were a bit scatty. But Tuesday, Friday, we're there. We're not fucking about. We're in your box. We're in your phone.
Exactly.
We're ready to go.
Exactly.
And when you discover a new podcast and there's so many episodes, I get hard for that, Josh.
Oh,
I get so hard for that. I like this podcast and there's loads of it. Feed me.
Yeah.
And there's long journeys. Love it. So, yes, good to have you on board, Leo's mum. Oh, I had a nightmare on Radio 2, Josh. I did a phoner.
Oh, no.
Celebs spotted in random places, airport edition, and the amount of countries, cities and airports I mispronounced on the radio was awful. It was like a...
Los Angeles? From Los Angeles Airport?
Yes. Like that. Chicago. Someone in a Bucky O'Hare. Chicago. Chicago Airport. Anyway, go on. How are you, Josh?
I'll tell you a few things. Firstly, off that Lauren thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't planning to start with this, but
this is why I love you. You're freeform.
Freeform.
You can shapeshift.
Yeah. Well, exactly. She listens to Parenting Hell on every car journey, Rob.
Yes.
I don't.
Not
have
your
control
daughter.
No. Exactly. My daughter has control of the stereo.
What? Now, well, my literally, daughter. Does she know how to work it?
Not literally.
All right.
I've got control of it when I'm stopped. Just to be clear, before anyone complains.
Fuck it, Josh.
Like, get off my fucking case, okay? Get off my case. So we have the radio on in the morning.
Yeah.
And occasionally she'll just pick out a song that she likes.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
What radio station you got?
Six Music we got on. Because we're still pretending that we're happening. You know,
that poor kid. That poor kid listening to another droll song.
Well, no. She's absolutely obsessed with early 90s rave, Rob.
Okay.
So any rave song that comes on, she absolutely should start dancing in a way that implies she's E'd up. She knows the dancing.
And she's not. Right?
She's not. No, just to be very clear, she's not. It's the morning. She
loves a come down. She's at her best on a come
Monday
down.
Monday morning, there might still be some going around her bloodstream from the weekend, but you know.
Yeah.
So this is her favourite song at the moment. Play One Love by The Prodigy. Edit on your phone.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'm driving at the moment. I'm recording this and changing the song, mate. I don't give a shit. One Love, Prodigy.
This is my daughter's favourite song.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit like Sticky, Sticky, Stick, Stick. Is it like a race song?
Yeah, well, I wonder. That's what I was thinking. Because she loves Sticky, Sticky, Stick, Stick. I think Hey Dougie's got her into rave.
Oh, I tell you what, he's like the entry drug.
He is.
The entry Doug.
Oh, there we go. And she loves anything that sounds like that.
To be fair, I listen to TalkSport in the morning. So my my kids are
Your
really
kids
into
love
Ally
McCoist.
Yeah.
I should apologise, Rob, also.
Oh, what have you done?
I've got AirPod issues.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
we Josh, you're Josh. The headphone situation is absolutely unacceptable.
It's got worse.
I'd say, my mum, who's nearly 70, would have sorted out the headphone issue quicker than you have. What's wrong with you? What's happening, Josh?
So the lead in my mic is faulty. So
right,
I can't,
so you can't
near
put
my
in
mic.
A normal headphone jack in the
can't
mic.
Can't put in a normal headphone
okay,
jack.
Okay, fair enough, because if you could and you haven't bought more headphones, then I'm angry, I'll let you off slightly. Go on.
Also, so I've got AirPods.
Yeah,
but obviously I use them in my day-to-day, and every time I come to record, I forget that I've got to get my AirPods, because for the last 4 years, I haven't had to get my AirPods to record.
Yes, of course, and they're probably low in charge because you're using them for this and
exactly.
out and about. Right, okay.
And I've been referring to them there as plural, but I recently, 2 days ago, lost an AirPod, which is
so fucking listening, are you currently recording this with one AirPod in that's
with
low
my,
on battery?
My last remaining AirPod, yes.
Because in the past, you've switched between ears to charge.
Yeah.
It's really low rent. Stephen Bartlett wouldn't accept this.
I know, exactly, Rob.
How Stephen Bartlett's not going to get a celebrity to cry with one AirPod in, is he?
No,
he needs
exactly.
to look in control and calm at all times.
Well, if I got up at 5 a.m. like Jake Humphrey on the High Performance Podcast, Rob... He's not having problems with his AirPods, is he, Jake Humphrey? He's getting up at 5 a.m.
Jake Humphrey's an interesting guy. I don't know. I think you're referring to his LinkedIn post.
I am referring to his LinkedIn post.
Well, yeah, because he does that podcast about high performance where he talks about to successful people about what they do to perform at a high level. I feel like on this show we talk to parents about how they parent and we discuss what we do.
Well, it's very much the low performance podcast.
But it's just like, I don't know. He just feels like he takes himself very seriously, Jake Humphrey.
He takes himself incredibly seriously.
There's not a lot of slack in the fun of life with Jake Humphrey. It's all quite intense.
It's not the high laugh podcast, is it? That's what I imagine. I've never listened to it.
For me, it actually is, but in the wrong way. Well, when anyone starts, I get up at 4 a.m, I think, fuck off. Well done, sorry, Ard. Like, I just sort of, but you're going to bed early.
The only people who should be up at 4 a.m. are parents in the first 3 months and my daughter coming back from a rave.
Yeah, of course. And milkman.
Milk people. Breakfast radio
milk,
DJs.
Milk people sounds like a racist term for white people. Here they come. couple of fucking milkers. Fucking full of milkers round here, full of the milkies. Hey, Milky! Oh, yeah, like I'm absolutely stink of dairy, this lot. When I came back from Korea, right, there's a big queue for passports, and in Heathrow, they have a queue for British and EU and like American and Australian passports. Then they have any other, which is sort of like rest of the world. And it was a woman walking, it was a white woman walking down the queue, and she kept on saying to anyone that was brown, what passport you got?
Oh my God.
Honestly,
oh my
it was
God.
Insane.
Oh my God.
And she went, what passport you got? God. And there was just like an Asian British woman like,
oh my God.
I've got British. And then she went to Ramesh, what passport you got? And he went, oh, I've got British, like that. And I went, I said, you can't just ask all the brown people. And then she panicked. I went, what passport you got? I went, don't do me. Don't do me because you're trying to crawl it back. You know what you've done. Oh, that's funny. This is quite funny, actually. It links in. The school is doing a cultural day or heritage day where everyone is allowed to wear their own clothes, but you have to wear something that represents your heritage. So, obviously, my kids, as milky as it gets.
Going as pearly king and queen.
Absolute milkers, my kids. And we didn't know what to do because, like, you know, what? Because they're English on my side and then lose English.
Get them in a fucking Burberry baseball cap, Rob. Polo shirt.
Stone Island jacket. Can of beer.
Shave their heads.
Lou's mum's Welsh, but Lou's granddad was Irish. So we didn't really know what to put them in. So in the end, we just got them a blue and white and red bow, so red like what they wore for Jubilee, and then got the three flags and pinned them onto their tops. I pinned on the St George's cross, and I was like, I need to get another flag on here quick, because at the moment it looks it just looks like she's a little NF kid just St George's cross. And then I put it on, but what I didn't realise was I put the Irish one on backwards. It looked like she was from Senegal. And there is no Senegalese. There's no Senegalese in my heritage, Josh. I don't know if you're aware of that, but absolutely no Senegalese.
You've done the DNA journey, Rob. We're all aware of that.
So it's quite funny. But the flags kept on coming off. So at 7:30 a.m. this morning, and because the clocks have changed, it was technically 6:30 a.m. I was trying to glue the flags onto this like safety pin, and I just had my fingers all stuck together, and I just was like. But it was stuck together as if I was like an Italian. You know when like, Italians try and tell the ref something, they put all their fingers together.
Oh, yeah.
They go, come on. And I just was like, this is too stressful in the morning.
Did I tell you that Ellis told his next door neighbour, who was about six, she was going to one of those days where you dress as a culture or whatever at school?
Yeah.
And he said, I'll give you £1,000 if you go in traditional Welsh dress. And then she turned up at his house with a picture of herself at school in traditional Welsh dress. I was like, £1,000, please.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. It's quite intense, the traditional Welsh dress.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's like a little red dress penny and a little bonnet.
She went like that. He didn't give her the £1,000, just saying.
Anyway, I'll cut you off there. What you were talking about?
I was going to tell you a Mufti Day story.
Yes. Okay, let's do Mufti. How did we get onto milk?
Milk.
Oh, getting up early. 4 a.m. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. Fuck it.
Who cares? Let's get mufti.
This is what we're all about on the Low Performance Podcast. We should start referring to ourselves as the Low Performance Podcast every time it goes wrong.
We're going to start beef. I've already started beef with Stephen Bartlett because I said on another podcast, I don't know why everyone cries on his show. And then he messaged me saying, I promise I don't drug him. Then Jack Whitehall messaged me the other day because I said that I told him off for stealing the word melt. Now we've got Jake Humphrey on our case. But no, he said, I start the day with these three world class. What is it he said? It was just quite intense.
It was very intense.
Anyway, so
I'm not going to start a beef with him because the last thing I need to do is get a message at 5 a.m. woken by an angry message from Jake Humphrey.
But the day after, he took a picture going, early morning, lovely day, and the sun was up, and people are going, that's definitely not 5 a.m, mate.
No, he got all his stuff done. It was 7 a.m. He'd finished his day.
Yeah.
So, on the Low Performance Podcast, this is some low performance for you, Rob.
Go on.
So my daughter's first tooth was wobbly. Yeah. We thought she'd had a tooth come out. She hadn't. She claimed. Yeah. So anyway, it was. I was making dinner.
Yeah.
My wife was putting her to bed. And I suddenly heard my daughter screaming like she was being attacked.
Okay.
And I went upstairs. And she'd basically knocked her tooth, a wobbly tooth. And it was at 90 degrees facing her.
Oh, inwards.
And outwards. Right, outwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And her mouth was full of blood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is at 8 p.m. So we clean up, but obviously she's totally freaked out by
it. Is the tooth still just hanging?
The tooth's just hanging and won't move. And we're like, do you want us to... She won't let us go near it.
Yeah, of course.
And it's not just us that won't go near it, Rob. It's she won't let her lip touch it.
So she goes like...
So she she's like this. She's holding her ass like that. Can you see her like that?
Yeah, holding the lip down.
Holding the lip out, her bottom lip out.
Was it the bottom tooth?
Yeah, so it's that tooth there, the bottom row. Yeah. She's like that, and she wouldn't let go. And she couldn't drink because she couldn't get any suction.
Right.
And she had spit, like, falling out of her mouth. She was like that for 2.5 hours before she passed out for sleep.
Oh, she was laying there till 10 o'clock holding it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Because she wouldn't let go. She wouldn't let go.
Was it coming out slightly sooner than it should?
No, she just didn't. Because it's her first tooth. She had no experience of it. She was terrified. It was awful, right? So eventually...
Why am I laughing?
She passes out, right?
Can I just squeeze stuff and say, why am I laughing at your kid being terrorised?
I know.
It's so horrible, isn't it? Why am I laughing?
Tell you what, Stephen Bartlett wouldn't be doing this. He'd be getting the tears from me. That's what he'd be doing.
How did that make you feel, Josh? Being powerless as your child suffered? I'm not telling you, Stephen. I'm on it for a favour, all right? I've got a tour to shift. Yeah. I don't need to talk about why I'm sad.
Pass me a fucking bottle of Huel and let's talk about my tour date.
Why am I sad? I've been up at 5 a.m. trying to seize the day, mate. I've seized it and I don't fucking like it, all right? Can I give it back?
So I got my lip. She's got her lip out like that till she passes out.
Cool.
She wakes up. First thing she does, grabs her lip.
Yeah.
The tooth's still there. Yeah. She's like, oh, by the way, in the evening, we're like, it's just totally natural.
Yeah.
And she's like, so normally, like, when there's something wrong with her, you can Google it or whatever. She's like, can you Google tooth coming out weird? And I'm like, that's not gonna.
She is your daughter, isn't she?
And you're like, that's not going to help. And then she's like, I need to go to a doctor or a dentist. You're like, you don't fucking need to go to an emergency dentist for your tooth coming out. But she doesn't know. It's impossible to explain.
Yeah, of course.
In the morning then, she's like, I can't go to school. I'm like, you've got to go to school, mate.
Also,
we can't
be
the parents that had you off school because you've got a wobbly tooth.
Also, as well, it's hard to explain. Yeah, don't worry. They all fall out and new ones grow. Pardon?
Yeah. Yeah.
what, Dad?
Well, the new one's there. This is how advanced the new one's behind it.
So you can see that one already?
Yeah.
God, your daughter's teeth do not want to go, do they?
So no.
It's her first one.
I'll send you a picture now of it.
Oh, no, she's only in reception, so I keep thinking she's the same age as my eldest. She's two years younger, isn't she? I was going to say, yeah.
So this is it still holding on at one point.
Oh, God. So it was still holding on all night?
This is a day or two later. This is what it was still at when it's still in there.
Oh, you need to ping that out, don't you?
Yeah, but she wouldn't let anyone near
it. Oh, so you've
got
the real ones behind it?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, she's doubled up. She's
like standing room only in there.
She's like a great white.
Yeah.
Bloody, yeah, so, but you basically, that needs... I think a lot of kids play with them and they fall out, but she's not going near it. She's not... Because your lip would rub against it, but she's holding her lip down a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So, she's like, I can't go into school. You're like, you've got to go into school, mate. You've got to go into school. Because you can't be off school with a wobbly tooth.
Just sat on sofa holding her lip down all day.
Yeah, exactly. Also, we know that once she gets into school, that's the distraction needed.
Yeah, and I reckon a windy day, that would blow off.
Exactly.
It's so, I've never seen a tooth so off, but still on.
I know, it's mad. We have to wrestle her into a school uniform.
Yep.
And then get her in. I'm going to the last leg. It's the last episode of the last leg series. Yep. So I've got to get my stuff together. I'm going straight. I go to the gym and then I go to the last leg. So it's like, get her out, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Get to the school, make conversation with one of my friends who's one of the mums. Don't notice something about her children that will come up later. Get her inside. Yeah. Tell them there's this tooth situation. Already, as soon as she's seen her friend, you can see she's more relaxed.
Yeah, okay.
I think all is solved.
That's good. Perfect.
Drop her off. On the way to the last leg, get a text from Rose. Oh my God, they've just put a picture on the school Instagram account. It's Red Nose Day. Everyone was meant to go wearing red.
Oh no.
Oh no.
Oh no. Yeah. She's got red tooth, bleeding.
But the whole drama, obviously, you know, like at the end of The Usual Suspects when all those kind of things fall into place.
Yeah.
Of course. My friend's children were all wearing red. I saw that with my own eyes. But I didn't put anything... I didn't put two and two together.
You must have known it was Red Nose Day. You'd do a topical chat show.
Yeah, but we can't mention it. Red Nose Day. They're our big rivals, aren't they? Obviously, we're on at the same time.
What, the charity?
Every penny given to Red Nose Day, Rob, is food out of my own daughter's mouth. Remember that.
She's not eating anyway.
She's not...
She'd be quite glad of it.
I'm about to get unrelatable here.
Oh, love it. Go on, what did you do?
Yeah.
Do some sort of big time showbiz shit? Did you ring Lenny Henry?
No.
Have you got Lenny Henry's number?
I haven't got Lenny Henry's
number. I mean, I don't know if I have. No. Go on. So what did you do?
So Rose is at home with our son, so she can't drop it because it's going to be his nap time. She can't drop stuff in.
Yeah, sure.
I phone our agent.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Could you organise me a courier bike, please?
Oh, my God, Josh. So you get a courier to pick something up from your house?
Get a courier to pick up a red dress. A red dress. Red shoes.
And drop it off at the school.
And drop it off at the school. Does that make me a great parent, or does it make me a wanker, or does it make me both?
I don't know.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's the kind of thing they do on the High Performance Podcast, Rob.
Every minute of your day counts. You've got to prioritise. Well, yeah. I don't know, actually, because I would ring, for example, if that was my situation, I'd ring maybe Lou's mum, who lives around the corner, and say, I'm at work, Lou's trapped with the baby indoors. Can you go around and either sit with the baby, or do you mind going around picking up the dress and dropping it off at the school? Because and she'd probably go, yeah, and I wouldn't think anything of it. However, you haven't got that luxury of family and friends so nearby. So you could just, did solve that problem.
There is an argument I could have organised my own courier. However, I know got an account and they can just bill me for it.
No, I don't. I think that was the right thing to do because they use couriers all the time. So it's a lot easier for them. If you just ring that, they can get it done straight away and then they'll just charge you and take it off your money that month. So I think that was good problem solving.
I went into the last leg and I said I'd done that and a lot of people were like, took the piss out of me for being out of touch. One of whom had also forgotten Red Nose Day and not remedied the situation and tried to take the moral high ground. I would argue...
It's because you've made them feel bad. That's what happened there. Because you remedied the situation. Was it expensive?
My performance. Oh, I don't know until the end of the month, Rob. When it turns up on my bill.
Well, yeah, that is definitely slightly out of touch. However, if that is an option available to you to keep everyone happy, I would say if you did that every day because you always forgot lunch, but I think as a one-off, especially with a child that's already upset with her tooth falling out, I think you've been a good dad there because you've used your resources to remedy a situation that's your fault.
Yeah.
And I think fair play to you. I think anyone who's got a problem with that is a hater. But it'll be quite interesting. My opinion may change when I find out how much it costs.
How much? Yeah, so might mine.
Hi, But no.
Anyway. Yeah. So that was a controversial thing I did.
It's not too bad. Yeah, but like I say, if you are living somewhere you don't have as much help around you, and obviously it was a one-off situation, I don't think that's too bad.
No.
She'll appreciate that, your daughter.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Can you put a price on childhood trauma? And yes, you can. The price of a courier. Because I think I've fucked up my youngest daughter around birthday parties. Because remember that birthday party that went wrong and I had to carry them out screaming with no shoes on? This was in lockdown.
One of the highlights of my day.
And basically what happened was my youngest was being really stressed. I think it was after lockdown and there was about 100 people in this party. And I think they were a bit overwhelmed by people and they weren't used to it. And I don't think I was giving them enough credit that we'd been locked up for 3-4 months. And then all of a sudden they're at a party of 100 people. And basically what happened was my youngest was kicking off and then I was taking her out of the situation. And then they were doing a big photo for the birthday. She went, I want to be in it. And I let her go and she ran right in front of everyone. And she was all upset and it was quite funny. She just stood in front of the cake and the birthday girl crying and 100 people laughed at her and then she ran away distraught. And now whenever there's a photo for a birthday party, she gets all upset and stressed and goes, the photo's happening. Because she basically associates a photo at a birthday party with what probably will go down as one of the most awful moments of her life so far.
Yes.
I don't know how to change that.
No, but that's not intentional and these things happen.
No, I know they do, but then is there a child psychologist listening? Is there anything that I can do to remedy that? Or is that just something that's going to happen now? Or am I overthinking it? Or will she grow out of it? Because I'm sure there's lots of people that have got kids where something happened that upset them that keeps reoccurring when they're triggered by it. So I know that she gets a bit stressed, and she probably doesn't even know she's doing it, but subconsciously is being triggered by that photograph at a birthday party. But if there's a child psychologist listening that sort of understands that and a way to help them with that, please let us know, because I'm sure there's lots of parents listening that have got similar situations. Josh, I think we're high-performing now. This feels like...
That was some high-performance, Rob. I had a problem with high-performance, Rob, with some high-performing I did. Went to a 40th.
Went to 40th. How's 40 going, by the way?
I'm not 40.
Yeah, no, 40. No, I know, but the approach... Oh, God, okay, I'll take that as not well.
No, it's fine, actually. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it, fine. Just, you know,
I know
fine.
You're not 40 yet. I'm saying, like, how's it going with it approaching? But I think you might have answered.
I don't even think about it. I'm not 40 yet. Yeah,
I'm not 40. It's actually 6 days. I don't know.
Why would you ask me?
Yeah, so why are you? I'm not a 39 still.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Went to a 40th.
Yeah.
I was driving. And also, I'm not really drinking. Well, I'm drunk in a few weeks now. And loving not being hungover. I had 5 Beck's Blues.
Oh, is that your non-alcoholic go-to? Because I'm
but it's all they had.
Right, I'd suggest Erdinger.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I tell you why I'm never having this again. Not that I'm blaming the brand, but I was thinking, I woke up, Rob.
Yep.
With a hangover.
No,
I've never been so livid in my life.
So how do you do?
How weak am I? How pathetic am I as a
do you
human
want me to
being?
Answer?
No, yeah, no. That was rhetorical. Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
You're not Stephen Bartlett. But
how weak do you think you are?
Do you want to cry about being weak? I had a headache.
You had a headache, yep.
I felt exhausted and, you know, like fuzzy.
Yep.
And I was really irritable towards Rose. All the classic signs that I was hungover. So and I was like, I haven't got any of the benefit. And I'm fucking hungover on a Sunday. I'd have a nap. I had a nap at lunchtime when my son went down. I had a nap because I was so hungover.
What time did you get in?
11:45.
Right, okay. So not super late. Was this when the clocks went forward as well?
Yeah.
See, yeah.
I had a good 6 or 7 hours sleep.
Right, okay. So when was you talking to lots of people? Was it a hubbubby kind of party?
I wasn't doing loads of talking. It was quite loud. Okay. God, I am 40.
But I'm just saying, I think sometimes the hangover is the sort of social battery gets depleted and it makes you feel tired and stuff. And it must be dehydrating, though, that Beck's Blue still, is it? Because you're not drinking water. So a lot of the problem with a hangover, it's not always the alcohol. It's being dehydrated. So beer, for example, makes me very dehydrated and feel all groggy and like my sinuses come up and stuff. Whereas if I had just like neat alcohol, I wouldn't feel, I sort of feel hungover a bit, but not as, I think sometimes it's all the sugar.
That's why you just drink vodka, isn't it? Yeah. Straight vodka.
Well, I do like a bit of tequila just with ice.
You're right.
If it's a fancy tequila.
Bloody hell.
I do that. Yeah. Have you tried that?
Brad Pitt? Fucking
but
hell.
I think
just a mezcal for Rob, please.
Just a Drambuie clean. Just on its own. Hold the rocks. No, but I think maybe it's the sugar and the being dehydrated because you're drinking
I'm done with it.
Yeah, so don't even drink
I'm not even drinking non-alcoholic beer now, Rob. There's nothing left for me. My life is so dry. No pun intended.
Look, they do non-alcoholic gin.
Yeah, but why bother? Just fucking hell. just have a fizzy water. If you want a gin, have a gin. Don't have a non-alcoholic gin. Come on. Have a word with yourself.
Why don't you try? What do you normally drink if you are drinking? Is it beer you normally have?
Yeah. It's fine. I like a fizzy water, bit of lime, fine.
What about like what about lime soda, a vodka lime soda?
That's without the vodka.
No, but with the vodka, just have a couple and then that'll make you feel a bit...
I have a couple, Rob. Have you met me? This is the problem, Rob.
I've never
taken
anyone
39
to have
years
five
to realise.
Beck's Blue.
I can't just have a couple. I like it too much. That's why I'm stopping. You've met me.
Yeah.
Have a couple of vodkas. What's the fucking point?
Tell me through what you would have done at that party normally then.
Well, I was driving.
Yeah. So if you weren't driving?
5 pints.
And that's not too much though.
No, I know, but I knew I had to get up.
Yeah.
I wouldn't... Well, I don't know, Rob. I don't know.
Say like you had... The kids were at like mother-in-law's, you weren't picking them up till 6 in the evening.
Yeah.
What
straight
you do?
Through till 6 p.m.
What's
I don't know.
Wasted. You wouldn't drink all night though, would you? You just...
No, I drink till 3.
Till 3? Yeah, that is a lot. So you just plow...
It's
yeah,
bad.
That is bad.
The speed I drink when I drink as well, Rob.
You do drink really quick. You gulp it down. Because I remember when you met us in me and Romesh in Birmingham, you drank so much so quickly. It was battered.
Yeah, all right. Let's not this is now the opposite of the high performance podcast.
Sorry.
Who are you, Stephen Bartlett? How much Huel are you glugging back? How many Huels are you knocking back?
So full of Huel. Huel's actually quite good, to be honest. I've been using it.
Yeah, I really do like it, yeah.
Josh, I've got a couple of things to go through with you. Is there anything else on your hit list?
Just that I had my daughter's friend round. It was our first ever play date where the parents went.
Oh, and they just left the kid. Yep.
Yeah. Easiest day of my life.
Oh, I know. I'm a big
mental.
Fan of that. And then you can just...
I can't believe how easy it was.
You can just go on your phone and then they play and you don't even have to talk to the parent.
Yeah, I did some tasks. Yep. I then made a cup of tea and read a book about Raoul Moat.
I mean, I if you ask me to guess what you did... Cup of tea, absolutely. The Raoul Moat book, I would never have got there.
No, it's a curveball.
I would have gone through about 1,000 indie Britpop autobiographies before Raoul Moat.
Oh, I'm interested.
What's the takeaway of Raoul Moat? Fried chicken.
I'd highly recommend it to anyone that wants to read it. I'd say
there's no one listening that has recently been going, oh, do you fancy a good old Raoul Moat book? But I've just not...
I bet there are people who are fascinated by crime.
Yes, they are fascinated by crime, but it's just quite a niche.
It's a very
crime.
Well. It's a. I had to come heavily recommended. It was recommended to me by Matt Ford, and then it was recommended by another friend as well.
Right. Okay.
So
very interesting book.
It's a very interesting book.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that kind of thing.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay. Cool. So, what was a play date like? Good.
It was great. Because I just sat there and read a book about Raoul Moat.
That's what's good about my daughters, and I'm very lucky that they do
play
like
together.
That. On a Saturday or Sunday, if they're knackered and we're knackered, we will just say we're staying in today, and they'll have a little bit of iPad time. They'll play games together. We'll do stuff together, and they do play quite well. Trying to play a game though that's competitive is fucking awful because they're playing this game at the moment. We have to guess the animal, but my youngest can't. Yeah. Read like she can read bits and bobs, but she can't read all the clues and how it works. And then my older one can, and then like I have to play, but then I have to sort of get. It's like they just want to win so bad, and they really they do taunt each other.
Oh god!
The biggest thing is like, oh my iPad's got charge and her one hasn't. I'm like, oh my god! But then, it is good when they play. So I'm glad that the old play dates are working for you, Josh.
Yeah. Do you know what? On this.
Yeah.
The playing thing, right?
Yeah.
My daughter, I am lucky. You know when you're like, there are some things I'm lucky about. I went to my friend's house. They've got two sons that love to play. They're constantly having to play games with them.
Yeah.
My daughter, the art thing is a fucking incredible.
She just loves painting and drawing.
She just loves painting and drawing. And you're like... There's a little bit of mess on the table. I went to my friend's house. There's fucking, you know, they're building tents and they're fucking, you know,
pardon?
Driving.
They're what? If you say they're fucking, you really need something else to say.
Oh, sorry.
They're building tents.
They're fucking.
Pardon?
Actually, I should have had an issue with that. Looking back, that's bad.
That's bad parenting.
That's bad parenting.
That is. If your kids are fucking each other, that's bad parenting,
that's
guys.
Bad parenting.
That is low performance.
they're like constantly having to come up with games. They're constantly having to pretend to be a monster. They're constantly having to, you know, get the magnetiles out. Yeah. And you're like, fuck, I am so... Like, my daughter, she'll go... Could you show me a YouTube video of how to draw a horse and play it, and then I'll follow it? And you're like, and I'm stood there just having a cup of tea watching her draw a horse.
Obviously flicking through the Raoul Moat book as well.
Obviously flicking through the Raoul Moat book.
Leave that on the side.
I genuinely, Rob, when I went to this party,
yeah,
I'd had my 5 Becks Blue and we left. And I said to Rose, the great thing about being sober is I'm really looking forward to getting home and reading my book about Raoul Moke.
God, stop saying Raoul Moke.
Sorry, but it's an interesting book.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's good. I'm glad that worked out well for you, Joshua.
Yeah, so I'm on a positive mindset with that.
You're fine.
Sorry, I know it's not the part of the podcast. Not what we're here for.
Well, I can talk... If you're feeling a bit too positive, I can bring up a couple of things.
Give me some low perf, please.
You know your favourite park? A police horse was savaged in there by a dog. Have you seen that?
What, Victoria Park?
Yeah, there was a dog... trying to eat a horse. The horse survived, luckily. But it was quite horrific.
Thank God for that, yeah.
Yeah. Also, the other...
Kick the dog. Kick the fucking dog. You've got hard feet, mate.
Right, well, don't victim blame.
All right, sorry, yeah. Good point.
Sick of all this bloody victim blaming of horses and dogs.
Yeah.
We've put up on Instagram a couple of things.
Oh, no, here we go.
No. If you're feeling a bit too positive. About one was your positioning, your body language when you were interviewing Rose for the podcast.
Yeah. Someone pointed out that I've got a weird foot, and it is really weird.
Yes, you have got a strange foot, actually. It's sort of, there's lots of different angles in there.
What's going on with it?
It looks a bit like a knee.
Yeah.
And also, a lot of comments about your outfit. You know, you're turning 40, so you wanted to dress smarter.
I'm not going to listen to them.
No, I'm not saying you should, but no, I'm just saying.
There was some positive.
No,
I was about to say a lot.
No, I think there has been... Josh, don't be so defensive. There has been a lot of positive comments. But what I wanted to bring up is, like, how many comments? Like, you know, we sort of get, like, around 100 comments and sometimes less on posts.
Yeah.
But you've had 15,000 likes and 800 comments.
Yes, what's going on there, then?
And there's loads of them. And a lot of people do like the look, Josh, to be fair. Yeah. And the only thing I'd say, the common theme is you look lovely and smart, Josh. The only sort of negative is, like I said, you can't have much to complain about it.
810 comments.
But there's not much sort of personality in there. And it looks a bit like you're going to sort of like sixth form or school. It's sort of like, you're not, I don't feel like I'm getting the Josh Widdicombe.
Rob,
personality,
no one commented no personality. You've added that yourself.
Right, okay. Well, someone did, which someone said it looks like you'd get robbed if you wore that outfit.
That's unfair. That's victim blaming.
Someone said Mormon.
Right, that's just because I'm wearing a jacket. I don't look anything like a Mormon. I'm not wearing a Mormon suit.
Someone trying out his new uniform for his grandparents.
What does that even mean?
I think that you look quite childlike. Are you not comfortable?
Well, the problem is I do look young. But
yes.
If you are you on the Parenting Hell Instagram account?
Yeah. Someone said, why invite criticism? Which sort of is quite leading.
Yeah, too right. It kicked off on the Instagram account again, Rob, over...
What about?
A lot of... It kicked off because...
I don't really read the comments unless they're funny ones about you.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. Put a picture up of me and Rose.
Yeah.
And quite a few people commented that I was punching. And then someone said, I think all these comments that it's punching, you're actually being quite mean to a man that you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but I would agree with them. Wouldn't you?
This is unbelievable.
Well, so do you think Rose is punching?
No.
Is that what you're suggesting?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Are you saying that Rose is lucky to be with a guy like you? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that...
So what are you saying?
I'd say that we're both in the correct weight class.
So you're saying she's as heavy as you?
No, I'm using the boxing analogy.
Right, okay, so you say no one's punching, it's sort of level taking.
No, I'm saying Rose is a very beautiful woman, and that I've
got a
lot to
offer. You're a very handsome man.
No, I'm not saying that.
So then why would you describe her like that if she's in the same class as you? So if she's a very beautiful woman, you're a very handsome man.
Because beauty isn't skin deep.
No. Yeah. No, I think you look great.
In my defence, the picture of me and Rose, I... look better than I did 5 years ago. I looked fucking awful 5 years ago.
What I would say about the picture of you and Rose, if you cover up you and you look at Rose...
Yeah.
And then you reveal you...
Yeah, you're surprised.
Yeah.
But I think... I don't know what was going on with me at that stage. That was... I think... I honestly, Rob...
You look about six.
I look like six. I look like I'm kind of... straight from the pub. I've not shaven properly. I've got like a weird like chin within a chin. It looks like I've got a goatee, but I haven't. Like, it's... I look awful, Rob.
Your hand looks weird as well, the way you're holding Rose's hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a mess.
You're really clinging on to her, as I would if I was you in that situation. It's a big premiere, a lot of famous people there.
That was the absolute premiere.
Josh, I think you look lovely, and I just thought it was nice to see so many comments.
Yeah, good. I'm sure you did.
I'd say, though, what really stole it was the knickknacks in the background. People that loved all the knickknacks. And it helped me because I know Rose has got a slight issue with me calling it knickknacks, but that is quite a knickknack corner of yours,
isn't
it?
Yeah, she was absolutely furious that that corner had been included. She was like, do you know what, it's a fair cop.
I did ask you if I could post it, though.
Oh, yeah, you're not at fault there, Rob.
One thing, my daughter said, I've got to tell you this. My daughter said something that was quite funny, and I laughed, and she went to me, my oldest, she went, don't say that on your podcast.
Oh, no.
It's starting, no, Josh. Oh, what? She went, don't say that on your podcast.
What did she say?
Well, I can't say what, I've said I wouldn't.
Oh, come on now.
The rule's got to be, if she outwardly asks me, I've got to not, I can't say it, because it will feed back to her. But I was like, this is dangerous, isn't it? Anyway, the school trip, so much, they're all quite loud kids, aren't they? Yeah. Just lots, like 30, how old are they? 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds. But I tell you what, Christians absolutely love Jesus.
I was sat there going,
you love, are into this guy.
Yeah.
It's like
going to see Liam Gallagher.
Oh, it's like me talking about Thierry Henry.
It is, yeah.
They just fucking love it. And I'm like, I quite enjoyed it because it's nice listening to people that are enthusiastic about something.
I love people who are passionate about anything, Rob.
Exactly.
Whether it be train spotting or the Son of God.
Exactly. I loved it anyway. But it was quite, it's quite an intense story, the Easter story, because basically Jesus is this sort of cool guy that sort of floats around, does a bit of healing, walks on water. Yeah. But there's quite a weird jump.
I'm across it, Rob.
Yeah, yeah, I wasn't. It's the first time I'd heard this story.
Okay,
so he basically bowls around, walking on water, helping people out and stuff.
Yeah,
and then
he's
got like 12 mates, and then he goes for dinner with them. And then, so he's just this normal bloke that helps everyone. All of a sudden, he basically goes to his mates, here we go, I'm Jesus, eat my body and drink my blood.
Yeah.
And it's quite a big jump to that.
Yeah, it is.
That's a red flag for me.
Yeah, so you're Team Judas, is that what you're saying?
Well, if I was going for dinner with Thierry Henry, and I love this guy, he's done some amazing things, and then he goes, here you go, eat my body, drink my blood, I'd go, look, Thierry, you was one of the greatest strikers the Premier League's ever seen, but I don't think I'm into this.
I know what you mean, but
anyway, back to Christianity.
Yeah. And so they love Jesus.
They absolutely loved Jesus, right? They talk about... one of the questions for the kids, which I think was quite good, was when Jesus was getting crucified, they said, where's Joseph at this point? And the Bible don't know. It's not mentioned.
Yeah.
And then they tell the crucifixion story, which is quite intense.
It's intense.
And that's quite an intense bit. And they made them all sit in the dark, and it was quite like...
What?
Yeah, because it basically had little stations around the church. And they did it really well. But there was a bit where it's like, they tell about the crucifixion, and then... This is the bit that was like, oh, he died. He said, because he died for all our sins, didn't he? Essentially, is the line. And then if you haven't, and then one of the kids said, but I've not sinned. And they say, oh, it'll all be all your future sins as well.
Yeah.
Which is quite full on again, because now you're sort of, that's a real anxiety
I'm going to say that kid's a fucking liar.
Well, that's what that kid said.
Come on, mate. And, goody-goody. Of course you sinned. Come on.
But then, because it was quite sad and quite intense, and then it was the sort of scary bit of the story. My daughter was getting a little bit upset.
Yeah.
Like, so as she walked past, I just said in her ear, don't get upset. It's all made up.
Oh, no.
That's my opinion on it.
See you in hell, Rob.
I didn't say that to the whole group, but I just
let
down, said to my daughter, don't get upset, it's all made up. Because that's what I believe. And what Jill was quite good at the thing was...
It's a bit of balance, like the BBC, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But then the Christians that were delivering the story were saying, well, I believe that... They didn't say this is what happened. It was very much, this is what I believe. You're allowed to believe it as well, or you don't want to believe it. It's up to you. But I just pop down. Just a bit like Bobby Robson having a word with Lineker and Gascoigne. She was getting a bit up teary. I basically sort of the metaphorical Lineker, have a word, lend down, don't get upset, it's all made up.
Yeah.
Sorted her out.
And that's the difference between you and Stephen Bartlett is that when he sees someone crying, he thinks, let's go for this. Whereas you go,
here we go. Here's the clickbait.
Yeah. Whereas you go, let's stop them crying.
Yes. Maybe I should have made her cry and then filmed it and put it on Instagram for content. Because if I'm honest, that would get... Because that's the thing with kids, right? That would get loads of traction online, loads of links, loads of clicks, loads of press. However, I've got more self-respect than that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that.
If we want to get Instagram likes, we'll just put on a funny suit and stand in front of some knickknacks. Thank you very much.
That's what we're here for. Not sponsored this podcast, by the way.
No, exactly.
Fucking hell, mate. Live it up, will you? Golden Wonder, if they're still going.
How the fuck have Golden Wonder not... Come on, Golden Wonder, we're here.
Golden Wonder must not exist anymore. There's no... That must have been bought out by Lay's or Walkers, surely.
Golden Wonder still going.
Golden Wonder still going. They're still going.
Golden Wonder, of course they're still going. They've got a website.
Here we go.
Little moments of joy since 1947. We're not going to advertise you yet, Golden Wonder, but we have the best 30 seconds about knickknacks. People are going to love it. Get involved. No, it's owned by United Biscuits.
Oh, fuck, United Biscuits.
Who the fuck are United Biscuits?
It sounds like a five-a-side team for people that come work on, at, McVitie's.
United Biscuits, get on the bloody phone. They make McVitie's, Jacob's Cream Crackers,
Managing
Twiglets.
Director. I'm on LinkedIn, mate. I'm high performing. A managing director at Knickknack Group, Hamza Ahmed. Hamza, mate, put your hand in your pocket.
Yeah, come on, mate.
I don't think that is Knickknack, though.
No, I don't think
it
is.
Might be another country.
Bloody
yeah.
hell. United Biscuits made $867.5 million last year.
Oh, come on, mate. Put your hand in your pocket. Send
put
us a fucking read.
Put your hand in your bloody pocket. Come here. We've got a Knickknack advert waiting. Absolutely on ice. Rob. You know I like knickknacks.
Yeah, of course I do. But do you like them nice and spicy or on the wall? Let's stop doing it. Right, Josh, we do small business because we got carried away again. Here we go, I've got a small business.
The first time I've got a small business. It's called United Biscuits, Rob. They've got
only 860 million. Oh, God. Where do you work? United Biscuits? Okay.
United.
Yeah, just left Biscuit Rovers and just needed a new challenge, really.
It's definitely American, is it? United Biscuits.
United Biscuits.
Fucking hell, the brands they've got. Oh, we could do an Ice Gems one as well, because there's that picture of me which looks like an ice gem. Come on, United Biscuits. Blimey.
Oh, fucking hell. They are United, aren't they?
And look, a club bar, we could talk about lunch boxes.
Why don't we do United Podcasts and try and buy loads of podcasts?
Jacobs, they've got mini cheddars and right, cheddars.
Right, Josh, let's stop doing a big business shout out. Let's do a small one. Here we go. Okay, right. Hi, Rob and Josh. I love the podcast. It's helped me keep smiling through the night feeds.
While you do that, I'm just going to open a lovely bag of Cheeslets and enjoy this, Rob.
Cheeselets?
Cheeselets, whatever they are.
I thought you said Cheesluts.
Cheeseluts.
Hi, Rob and Josh. I love the podcast. It's helped me keep smiling through the night feeds of our three-month-old Margot. My husband has created a new business called Tiny Mavericks. It is a free weekly newsletter aimed at inspiring children who are budding entrepreneurs. It features a story and activity that parents and children can do together. Oh, nice little activity. So far, it's featured Joe Wicks, Mr. Beast, Mrs. Hinch, and more. The Instagram and Twitter handle is @TinyMavericks, and you can sign up to the newsletter at www.tinymavericks.com. He's only just starting out, and it would mean the world if you could help spread the word. Thanks for being so sexy and relatable. Keisha from Suffolk. So basically you go on the website, put in your email, and it just gets emailed to you. How often is it? Weekly, was it? Weekly, and then it has a story about an entrepreneur and a little activity you can do. Isn't that nice?
There we go. That's very nice. Hi, both. Come on, use our names. Please, could you give my...
Needy.
Hi, both. Hi, both is like what you do the 10th email in. Come on.
Hi, both. I don't think hi, both is ever really effective, is it?
No.
Hi,
unlucky.
Guys.
We're not choosing yours. No, I can't do that. Please, could you give my new business a shout out, both of you? I recently started Inclusive E-Learning. I designed affordable digital learning experiences with a focus on accessibility and inclusivity. I aim to reach 100% of learners, including those with disabilities or those who are neurodiverse. My website is www.inclusive-, that's what that's called, isn't it? elearning.co.uk. www.inclusive-elearning.co.uk. Love the podcast. Can't wait for Tuesday and Friday for new episodes. Thank you, Joe Cottingham.
That go just on, Joe.
That's the end.
Right, we've overrun it now, Josh. It's been a long one. Well, I don't know. See what gets edited.
Always a bad day for Michael when you see us approaching the 3-hour mark. What will you chop it down to?
Josh, I'll see you on Friday.
I'll see you on Friday.
Bye.
Oh, it's going to be a good one. Bye.